So tonight we'll do part one of discussing Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the Aruch Haner, and his a tshuva that he wrote about Mechalel Shabbos Bizmanenu, which ended up being a very well-known tshuva, and a tshuva which was used and built upon as history progressed. So Rav Yaakov Ettlinger was who? He was born in 1798 and 1871, and he became the primary German Poisek. He was the head of modern Orthodoxy, I guess, modern Judaism in Germany. His first position was in Mannheim. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. And ultimately, he became the chief rabbi in Altoona, which was a very big position. And he was there. He became the primary, the major halachic poisek, and the leader of the Jewish community. He first became Rosh Yeshiva in Mannheim at the age of 18, where he was the Rebbe of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. So you see just from his Talmidim the amount of influence he had. And then ultimately he goes to Altoona, where he's the Rebbe of Rav Azriel Hildesheimer, another one of the fathers of German Jewry. So he really was the primary player in his time in Germany. But what was the role of the primary player in that time? And that was obviously to be the staunch safeguard against the Reform movement. The Reform movement at that time was picking up. 1844 was the first convention that we'll discuss, we'll read about, that the Reform began their movement. And he was the main person amongst Orthodoxy to be able to hold the our standards. Now, he was the first one also within the Orthodox world to go to have a degree, to go to university. And partly is what enabled him to negotiate, is what enabled him to play this position of being able to hold off the changes that the Reform wanted to do and wanted to infiltrate within the Orthodox community. So that was his main role. There's no doubt about it. As all the biographies say, he fought the Reform movement both in Germany and in Hungary, and his influence even spread to Eretz Yisrael. He was crowned Nasi Eretz Yisrael for his active involvement in helping out the Yishuv. So, but his chiddush in fighting the Reform movement wasn't simply that he took the reins, but the approach had shifted in his time, which is something fascinating, something very interesting. I read an article from a historian, Judith Bleich, who was Rabbi Bleich's wife, where she explains that he not only was the leader of this attack on the Reform, not only the leader of the Orthodox community, but he had changed the approach, which is always interesting. Whenever people want to create and bring in innovation, so what's going to be the approach to attack them? And she writes that the traditionalist response to the emergence of Reform took two forms. The first response, the immediate response of the Orthodox, was entirely negative in nature, characterized by complete dismissal of any innovation in either theological thought or religious practice. Just, it's nonsense, it's not, we're not going to engage. The innovations they want to bring on are ridiculous, and we're going to keep fighting it. They don't know what they're talking about. Often the rejection was formulated in sharp and ad hominem attacks. Orthodox writings dealt only with the halachic intricacies of the issues and betrayed no trace of reaction to the underlying factors which had prompted the desire for innovation, and no realization of the extent of the culture shock experienced by countless numbers of Jews emerging from the restrictions of ghetto life to become captivated by Western society and culture. So what she's saying is, until now, basically we're fighting a war and saying that, no, we're not going to bend at all. We're not going to let the Western culture infiltrate at all. And we're not going to deal with the underlying issues that the Reform was ultimately reacting to. So there's two ways to respond. You could just shut them out and say that we can't let in any innovation. Or we could say we're obviously not going to allow for any halachic, anything which is halachically usher, but let's at least deal with what's going on, what's prompting these changes. And that's what the Aruch Haner, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, again, he wrote four svarim. He wrote the Aruch Haner on Shas. He wrote Tshuvas Binyan Tzion, which we will read one of tonight. He wrote the Bikurei Yaakov on Sukkah, which much of our Hilchos Sukkah, the Mishnah Berurah, is based on. And he wrote a much harder sefer to get, a sefer of Drashas Minchas Ani. So his approach was, that's what he did. He changed the approach from one of just putting up a wall and saying, we're not dealing with it, we're not going to react to anything that you want, to saying, perhaps we could address the issues that you're trying to address, but in a traditional fashion, in a more conservative way. That's what he did. A leading among this group, this new group, was Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, noted Talmudist and halachic authority, author of many novelae entitled Aruch Lener and Bikur Yaakov. The stance adopted by the members of this group and the policies advocated by Rav Yaakov Ettlinger were to chart a new course for the movement for counter-reform. While Ettlinger's rejection of the Reform thought and innovative practice was no less complete than that of his more strident colleagues, he wasn't willing to bend on anything theological or anything halachic. He sought to couch his opposition in terms which would not further alienate Reform elements and which would present viable alternatives to at least some of the basic concerns and needs which had led to the development of the Reform movement. So that was his main goal in life. His main milchama, obviously, besides all the scholarship which he gave us and all the chidushim which he gave us, his main milchama, his main goal in life was to hold off the Reform movement, to do so in a way which perhaps we could deal with the issues that they're having and we could make changes that will satisfy them. And I think in light of that, take a look at this tshuva which we're about to read is very enlightening. It's a different perspective on the tshuva. So what is the shaila at hand? So let's take a look at I'll read you the. So it doesn't even have a shaila. If you take a look at Mar Makom number 11, where we have the tshuva of the Binyan Tzion, so you'll see that he begins his tshuva as follows: Psakim shelo lahalacha lemaisa. He says this psak halacha is not supposed to be intended halacha lemaisa. The shaila being posed was a question of, as we will see shortly, is the question of a Mechal Shabbos at that time, in the 1800s, Mechal Shabbos, who had touched wine. Does that deem the wine usser? Normally we know that if a non-Jew touches wine, it makes the wine usser. If someone who is a Mumer L'Shabbos, we will see, very likely the wine becomes usser. So the question was asked, is this true of Mechal Shabbos Bizmanenu? So he writes a tshuva, a very big chiddush, a very novel approach, but he begins the tshuva by saying, Halacha Shaloi L'maisa. This is an idea I had, this is a concept that I thought about, but I'm not willing to say this Halacha L'maisa, which is interesting. First of all, it's not like every tshuva. There's some tshuvas that you read through, every single tshuva starts with that these aren't supposed to be relied upon Halacha L'maisa. His tshuvas are not like that. This particular tshuva, he starts off, big letters, Psokim Shaloi L'Halacha L'maisa. But we will see that even though he did give this little exception before this tshuva, he said this is not halacha l'maisa, it is something which began, crept into the halachic words, and people began using it halacha l'maisa. Poskim began relying on halacha l'maisa, which is interesting to see from a historical perspective how that shift took place. So let's, before we jump into the tshuva per se, let's take a look at Mar Makom number 1, where the Gemara tells us in Maseches Erevin as follows, Amar Rav Huna, Ezehu Yisrael Mumer. We have many halachas that are dealing with the Yisrael Mumer. Yisrael Mumer, a Yisrael who is an apikoris. Again, not the halachic term apikoris. Someone who has left the fold. So what's a Mumer? Zeha Mechalel Shabbos Bifarhesia. We define Mumer. There are many halachas with a Mumer. And how do we define Mumer? It says the Gemara, that's Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesi. Someone who's Mechal Shabbos, and not embarrassed that he's Mechal Shabbos. He's open to the fact, he's openly Mechal Shabbos. Amr Le Rav Nachman, Kimat. Who is this shita that says a mummer is Michal Shabbos Beferhesia? Iker Remeyer, if you're going to tell me it's like Remeyer, the Amar, Choshel L'Davar Echad, Choshel L'Chol Torah Kula, Remeyer holds that if you're suspect with regards to one mitzvah in the Torah, a person doesn't keep one mitzvah in the Torah, he doesn't keep the Isser of Nevela. He eats not kosher, but everything else he keeps, just he doesn't keep the Isser of Nevela. So Remeyer holds, if you can't trust him with regard to Nevela, he's Aser for the whole entire Torah, you can't trust him, he's suspect for the entire two. That's the shita of a mayor. If he's over on one consistently, there's clearly one mitzvah that he doesn't care about, so then he's not trustworthy when it comes to the entire Torah. But if that's the case, so then why did this man the Amr say specifically Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesia? Any iser, any mitzvah that this person rejects, he would deem him untrustworthy, would deem him a mummer. So it can't be Remeir. Iker Rabbanan, so you're going to tell me, like it's Rabbanan? Ha'amri choshel davar echad, lo avi choshel chol terku. But the Rabbanan hold that just because you falter in one area of the Torah, doesn't mean that you're mummer lechol ha-Torah kula. Just because you violate one iser, doesn't mean you're mummer lechol ha-Torah kula. So who is this man the Amr that says, Mechal Shabbos, he's not trustworthy with regard to everything. We have the two extremes. We have Remeir who says that if you're Mechal one, doesn't matter which one, you're not trustworthy with regards to anything. And we have the Rabbanan who say just one. So you're still trustworthy with regards to the other mitzvahs. But who's this Shita who says that Mechal Shabbos is different? If you're Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, then you're a Mumma L'chol HaTorah Kula. It's as if you're not Jewish. You can't be trusted with regard to anything. So says the Gemara, So what's the answer? So says Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi, Omer, Hai Tanahu, the Chamira le Shabbos Kavoida Zara. This Tana holds that Shabbos is like Avoida Zara. Kiditanya, like the Brisa says, Mikem v'lo kulchem, prat l'mumer. You could accept karbonas from everyone, but not from everyone at all. Not you, from most people, not from everyone. Prat l'mumer. You can't accept the karbon from a mumer. Mikem b'chem chalakti v'lo be'umos. Min ha-behema, l'havi b'nei odem ha-domin l'behema. Mikan amru, from here they said, Mikablin karbonos miposhe Yisrael. You could accept karbonos from people who sin within Klal Yisrael. Kidei sheyachzeru b'tshuva, in order so that they go back and are choizer b'tshuva. Except who can you not take a karbon from? Chutz min ha-mumer v'ha-menasech yayin v'ha-mechal shabbos b'far hesya. So, mumer, menasech yayin, mechal shabbos b'far hesya, you can't take a karbon from them. So the Gemara asks the Avi's kasha, ha-gufa kasha. There's a inherent steer over here. Amart mikem v'lo kulchem lahotzias a mumer. First you said, I'm excluding a mumer, v'hadr tani mekablin karbonos miposh Yisrael. And then you say, I do take from posh Yisrael. So which one is it? Do you take from a mumer or do you not take from a mumer? So says the Gemara, halo kasha, reisha b'mumer l'chol ha-torah kula. The reisha is talking about a mumer, someone who rejects the entire Torah. Mitziyasa b'mumer l'davar echa. Someone who just rejects one iser, one mitzvah in the Torah. Ema seifa. So then, what does the seifa say? Chutz min ha-mumer v'ha-menasach yayin. But the seifa says, except for ha-mumer v'ha-menasach yayin, someone who's menasach yayin. Hi, mumer hechidami. So this mumer and the seifel, who's that referring to? Imumer l'chol haTorah. If you're talking about someone who rejects the entire Torah, so we already said that in the Reisha that you can't take a carbon from him. Ile davar echad. So kashim mitziyasa. If it's just for one thing, so the middle of the brisa said you could receive it. Elolav hachi kamer. So this must be what it says. Chutz min hamumer l'naseh ulechalel shabbosos b'far hesia. Alma avodah zara v'shabbos ki hadodi dinu. So the Gemara comes out that after this long conversation of exactly who's considered a mummer, who's not considered a mummer, that generally speaking, the Rabbanan hold that a mummer, if you just reject one mitzvah in the Torah, that you're still reliable with regards to everything else. It doesn't question your status as a Jew. But if you reject either Avodah Zarah, you're over an Avodah Zarah constantly, or you are a Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesya, so then you're not simply not trusted with regards to those mitzvahs, you're not trusted with regard to Kol HaTorah Kula. So here's where we get the notion from, that a Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesya is like a Mumel Kol HaTorah Kula. It's as if he rejected the entire Torah, which means for many halachas that we treat him as if he's not Jewish. With regards to Hashav as a Veda, it's possible we treat him not Jewish. With regards to Hilchos Ribbis, interest, it could be we treat him as not Jewish. With regard to the halacha we're going to be discussing tonight, Yayin Nesech, if he touches your wine, Pashab Shadim, Echalib Shabbos Bifar Hesia, touches your wine, which is not Mevushal, so that wine becomes Aser. Why? Because he's like a Mummer the Chol HaTorah Kula. That's Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesia. Now, why is the Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesia more stringent than any other mitzvah? Any other mitzvah, you reject it? Okay. You're not. We hope you do better on that mitzvah, but we don't consider you Mummer the Chol HaTorah Kula. Why is Shabbos different? So says Rashi, Maramakam number 2. Says Rashi, Hai Tana Chamir Le Shabbos Ka Avodas Kechavim. This Tana holds that Shabbos is comparable to Avodah Zarah. Why? The Oved Avodas Kechavim Kofer BaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is Oved Kechavim, why is that such a Chamir sin? Because it's like you're being Kofer BaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'amechal Shabbos Kofer B'maisav U'meyit Sheker Shiloshavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'maisa B'reishis. What are you saying, you're Mechal Shabbos? You're not simply saying that, okay, one mitzvah is too hard for me to do. You're saying, I don't believe the Rebbeinu Shem created the world. I don't believe he rested on the seventh because I don't believe he created the world. You're koifer v'maisa bereishis. That's not that like any other simple avera. That is as if you're being oivet of Avodah Zarah. You don't believe that God created the world. So if someone's who's Mechal Shabbos before Hesia, the way that the Gemara leaves it, the way the Rishonim seem to leave it, is that he has the status of a mumer l'chol haTorah kula. Let's take a look at Rav Moshe Feinstein, who in one of his tshuvas elaborates on this Rashi. In the next Maramaka number 3, I boldface the word towards like a third of the way down, ubi arti. Whereas Moshe explains this Rashi, this reason, the reason why Shabbos is considered more chomer than any other Yisurim, says Moshe, Ubiarti b'chidushai, and I explained in my chidushim, Dehum ishum devadei ein hechrich shemishim echal Shabbos l'teyavon hu kofer b'maisa bereshis. There's two ways a person could be Mechal Shabbos of Hesed. You're going to tell me that any person is Mechal Shabbos, by definition, that means he's saying God didn't create the world? There's a category of being Mechal Shabbos where a person, like every other taiva, it's just, I'm not willing to go through the uncomfortable, I'm very uncomfortable, I can't take a break for a day from all the melachas, for whatever reason. But it's not that I don't believe God created the world, I believe he created the world, but just like I have a taiva for Nevela, I have a taiva for Chazer, so I have a taiva, I'm not able to hold off on all the Yisurim of Shabbos. So a person like that, you're going to tell me is kofer b'maisa b'reishis? So says Rav Moshe, no, that's not the case. Therefore, shemisha mechal Shabbos l'teyavon, someone who does it because he just can't hold back, who kofer b'maisa b'reishis, the efsher she'av shemaimin eno yachol lichbosh yitzro. It could be he believes 100%, but he's still not able to be kovish to squash his desire. Leharvachas mamlin, he has to go to work. He can't give up his job, right? He can't give up his job. He wasn't able to give up his job every single week. That was a terrible nisayan that people had to deal with. So we're going to say a person, just because he wasn't willing to find a new job every single Monday, that means he was kofer b'maisa b'reishis. He didn't believe that God created the world? No, of course not. So says Rav Moshe as follows. When it's just to fulfill his desires, he's not saying anything theological over here. It's not that he's saying I'm rejecting the Rabbanu Shalom. Even though I believe in it, over mishum she'enu yachal lichbosh es yitzro. I cannot hold myself back. The tayavosa. And we trust that that's probably what's going on, unless we know otherwise. And it could be that he really believes that God created the world. And he believes in Schar Va'onish. And he believes that Osid Litay Nez Hadin. But he can't overcome this Yitzhara, as Yitzhara Amrinokin. So if someone's Mechal Shabbos just L'Teyavon, we should also say he doesn't become like a Mumer L'Chol HaTorah Kula. He doesn't become like a Goy. He doesn't become like a Mumer. He's a regular Jew who's an Avarian. But says Rav Moshe, that's why Chazal were very careful. They didn't just say Mechal Shabbos. They said Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesya. Bifarhesya, says Rav Moshe, Harei Baharbe, Rowan Yiyu, Misha Yom Rishahu Mitzad Shekofer B'maisa B'reishis, came into B'maisa Zusha Osa, who Maisa Kfira, Shememela Hu Keomer LaHaroin Shekofer. That's already another Madrega. When he does it, Bifarhesya, it's as if he's telling people, I don't believe in this whole thing, I am a Kofer in Maisa B'reishis. Now one could question this as well, as we will see, this is not so simple either. But this is what Chazal, this is Rav Moshe's explanation of Chazal. Why does he make this distinction between Bitsina versus Bifarhesya? Bitsina could just be the Teyavon. Once it's Bifarhesya in public, we assume that it's more of a theological statement. He is Kofer B'maisa B'reishis. So it continues Rav Moshe. Not like any other Isser where doing the Isser itself isn't necessarily saying anything theological that I don't believe that in God, I don't believe that he created the world. All you're saying is that I'm not doing this Avera. No one's going to stop me and no one's going to punish me. Shegam hu have ke omer b'maisav shehu kofer. Vitalina nanan she'eno kofer k'mo shehu omer. We assume that he's not a kofer. Shehochacha eino brewer. Aval b'chilo Shabbos, when it comes to chilo Shabbos, shebekofer have yaha avera, that the avera itself indicates a certain amount of kfira, maisa kfira, rak shmishum she'ef shegam she'eno kofer, she'oz hu rak maisa avera levad hu asafek, shelachen lemi meharoin she'yomro lov she'oza machma she'kofer have ka'omer lahem she'kofer. It's as if he said, I am a kofer, shegam hu yodeya, she'yomro ken, because he knows that people are going to assume he's a kofer, u'mikomokom osa bifneihem, and he still does it, harehu hold it. It's as if he is admitting that he's a kofer. So Moshe explained the reason why Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesya is because once it's Bifarhesya, it's as if you are fine with people assuming that you're a kofer. That's another madrega. It's not just like you're being over any other iser. It's another madrega of kfira. And therefore, Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesya has the din of a mummer, and has all the status that the mummer gives this person in halacha. Let's take a look at Mar Makom number 4, where the Rambam tells us as follows: Hashabbos va'avodah zarah kol achas mishteyan shkula keneged shar kol mitzvos. Just like we learned in the Gemara, Shabbos and avodah zarah, they're both equal to all the mitzvahs. V'Shabbos hi ha'osha bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu beinenu la'olam. And the Shabbos is the sign between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. L'fichach kola over al shara mitzvahs harei hu b'chlal rishei Yisrael. So anyone who's over on other mitzvahs, so he's a Rasha, he's b'chlal rishei Yisrael. Avam mechal Shabbos b'farhesya harei hu ke'oved avodah zarah u'shneyem ke'goyim l'chol devareyem. Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos, and Oved Avodah Zarah, you're kegoyim lechol devarei. You're not part of Rishei Yisrael, Kepoishe Yisrael. You're like a guy, you're a mummer lechol HaTorah Kula. Now the Rambam doesn't say exactly like Rashi said. Rashi said the reason is because you're kofar b'maisa bereishis. The Rambam says that since this is an oath, b'nei Yisrael, this is a special mitzvah, it represents a treaty we have between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, so that has so much significance that someone who's Mechal Shabbos is almost rejecting that treaty, and therefore that person is considered like a guy. So it seems like we have two separate reasons. Why is Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesi, and this will make a difference, Halacha Lamaisa. Why is Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesi considered a Mumma L'chol HaTorah Kula, K'goyim L'chol Devareim? Is it because it's as if he's saying, I don't believe God created the world? So he's a kofer. He's rejecting one of our principal one of our Ikare Emuna, or is it because this is such an important mitzvah, it's an oath between us and Bnei Yisrael, so that significance, that chashivas, means that if a person rejects this, he's not simply rejecting one mitzvah, it's as if he rejected everything, so he's a mummer l'chol Torah Kula, he's a goy l'chol divarei. So where does this concept come from, that we're going to treat him with regards to many halachos like a guy? So Rambam just said we treat him like a guy. He says the Or Zeruah Mar Makom number 5. Mashra b'halachos gedola shekasa behem u'mumar asa lechol mishchita. So you can't eat from a mummer's food. If he does a shchita, he's a mummer, but he's a great shaykhet. It's a perfectly kosher shchita. Still, the shchita is psula. It's not a good shchita. You can't eat. Mummer l'avayizara l'chal shabbos v'hesi. You can't eat his food. De'ose yayin nesech. And as we will see, they touch your wine. The wine is deemed tameh. The wine is deemed aser. V'mechal shabbos v'yam tovim b'farhesi shelo be'ones k'mummer l'avayizara dami. V'aser lechol mishchitaso. You can't eat from a shchita. As he said before, de'chamura avayiz kochavim shekol ha'koyfer b'avayiz kochavim ki'ilu mode b'chol ha'torah kula b'chol ha'mode. Anyone who agrees to avodas kochavim ki ilu koifer b'chol haTorah kula, and the same with mechal Shabbos. And mechal Shabbos v'hesi v'akum ki hadodi ninhu. They're exactly the same. So we see from the Gemara. The Gemara equates Mechal Shabbos v'Hesia to a non-Jew. The Rambam equates it to a non-Jew. And the Arzuru over here tells us that means that he's therefore going to prohibit our wine. The Beis Yosef quotes a similar thing, Halacha L'maisa, in Mar Makom number 6. Aval Mishuma L'Chal Shabbos v'Farhesia, O She'enu Mamin B'Divi Rabbeinu. Someone who is a Mumra L'Chal Shabbos v'Farhesia, who min? He's an apikores. V'yeno yayin asach, and he makes your wine aser. V'inyan chilo Shabbos v'avaras divir Rabbeinu l'daita sh'oivir avodah zarah who dafka sh'ayim muchzik bo shalosh pa'amim. It's not that he was mechal Shabbos once; it happened 3 times. Avu pam achas or shtaim eno ose yayin nesach. L'vnei asara tzarech sheyichal. That's all from the Tshuvas Rashi. So we see it's pretty much agreed upon from the Gemara to the Rambam to all the Rishonim that mechal Shabbos before Hesia is treated like a non-Jew. The definition, according to the Beis Yosef over here, is asara. Although there is a question about that, we would seemingly pass them like asara.
Let's say somebody lives in a camel, there's
no Jews. So it's a good question. If that's considered that the place can discuss it. We're going to deal with for now people that amongst within our community that we know are mechal Shabbos. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam
Shakol Nei
Bivara.
You know, many years ago, it was the custom that the boys would say, "You don't come on Saturday, you don't come on Monday."
Right.
So they would come in Saturday, and they'd come home without mincha and shul, but that's it.
And they would go to Hashkama Shachris morning. My grandfather says he remembers very well, people. They go to Hashad, they daven Shad, but it's a terrible Nisayan. It's a very hard Nisayan. So we're going to say those people are kikayfim b'chol Torah. They're coming to daven before they go to work. So that's much what we want to discuss in the remainder of tonight and next week. So, what?
Can he go to work?
Yeah?
That's what I wanted to pick with Moshe's definition. Is that
Still questionable. Right. We're going to take it to the next madrigal.
Looking like he was addressing that, but
yeah, Rav Moshe is not so clear. But we're going to address it now. So what's there to talk about? It seems that it's clear cut. Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. There's nothing to talk about. So where does the story begin? Let's take a look at a Rambam. The Rambam tells us in Maromakum number 7 as follows: Mi shehalacha alef, mi sheeno moide b'torah shebal peh. Someone who doesn't accept Torah shebal peh. Right? We know people like this. We don't know people like this, hopefully, but we've heard of people like this. The Karaim, the Tzedukim, right? They reject, they accepted Torah Shebichsav, they rejected Torah Shebal Peh. So the Rambam says, what do we do with these people? What do we do with the Karaim? What do we do with the Tzedukim? They don't accept Torah Shebal Peh. So says the Rambam, Eino Zakin Mamre. He's not a Zakin Mamre, Ha'omru B'Torah. We're not going to put him in the category of Zakin Mamre. Ela Hareza B'chal Ha'apikarsin. They're considered an Apikaris. And the distinction between Apikaris and the Mumarin and Minim so is a topic in and of itself. But we consider Apikaris, Ram says, Umisasa b'chol adam. So the Rambam discusses the halachas that we learn in Sanhedrin. What do we do with someone who is a real full-fledged apikaris? What do we do with someone who's a real full-fledged koifer? Someone who's trying to take, someone who's trying to lure other Jews away from Yahadah. So he goes through the halachas. Now let's take a look at halacha gimel. B'medvar mamurim, a very important caveat, says the Rambam, B'medvar mamurim, B'isha kofer b'torah shebal peh b'machshavto. This is someone who comes to the Torah Shabbat Peh and says, you know, doesn't make sense to me, I reject it. And he's using his own logic or his own rationales to reject Torah Shabbat Peh. V'achar shriris libo, he's just going with the whims of his heart. V'kofer b'Torah Shabbat Peh, so rejects Torah Shabbat Peh. Kitzadok u'baisis, like the tzedukin, like tzadok and baisis. V'chein kol hatoyim acharav, and all the people that straight after them. Aval b'nei hatoyim ha'ele, but what about the children of the Karaim? What about the next generation? Not the Karaim, not the first Karaim, not the first Karaim, the people who just rejected it on their own, went over after their own, the whims of their heart. Aval b'nei hatoim ha'el, their children, u'b'nei b'neiem, and their grandchildren, she'edicho osam avosam v'noldu ben akram, they were raised in a Karaite society. What do you expect from them? V'gadlu osam aldaitem, they were raised with these type of theology, this type of philosophy. Harehu ketinoik shenishba b'neiem, it's the same, the equivalent of a tinoik shenishba b'na akam. A Jew was taken as a baby and was raised in a Christian society, was raised in a non-Jewish society. So we expect this person to reject everything he's learned from a little child? How can we expect that? That person is, no doubt, he's an anus. A tinoik shenishba, a tinoik, a baby that was captured and he lived his life, he was raised in a secular society, in a non-Jewish society. Tinoik shenishba b'na ha'akum. We give the status of an honest. We don't expect anything from that child. We don't expect him to reject it and become a Jewish. We're not going to punish. We're not going to deem that kid to be a more, to be a mummer, to be a min. That kid is an honest. He's a tinoch shenishba b'na akum. So says the Rambam that not only a literal tinoch shenishba b'na akum, some baby was captured and raised there, but if we have apikarsin and we have mumarin and we have Minim, we have people that rejected Torah Shabbat Peh. They were Jews, but they rejected Torah Shabbat Peh. Or they were Kaifrim in any other way. So we give them the status of Kaifrim and Apikarsin. But their children were raised with this mentality. We don't expect little children that were raised in a certain society to reject everything that their parents taught them. Therefore, the children, the B'nei HaKara'im, the B'nei B'neihem, those are all considered Anusim, and they don't have the status of Mumarim. They don't have the status of Minim. Let's just finish the Rambam. Shenishba B'neihem, V'gadlu, and they raised him. Ve'enu zariz lecho b'darkei ha-mitzvos, sh'arehu ke'onos, ve'afel pisha shama achakach. And even though afterwards he heard, oh, I heard there's such a thing called Judaism. I hear there's something nice. There's this religion that my parents originally came from, that they are Jews and they have a whole different religion and they believe in this thing called Torah Shabbat Peh. So he heard about it. Shehu Yehudi v'ra'a Yehudim, and he's seen Jews v'datam, and he's seen the religion. Still, we still don't expect him to all of a sudden overnight throw away his everything he's been raised with and accept and embrace Judaism. No, harehu ka'onis, he's still considered an honest. Sherei gidluhu auto usam, because this was the mistake that he was raised with. Kach elu shamarnu ha'ochsim b'darchei avosam, anyone who's just following the footsteps of their father and they accepted, they were raised with a certain mistake. Hakara'im shetal l'fichach ro'i l'hachziran b'tshuva. So we do our best to be machzer them, to bring them back b'tshuva. Ulemoshcham b'divrei shalom. Shalom, and to drag them b'divrei Shalom ad sheyichzru le'eis and Torah till they come back to the Torah. So the Rambam's telling us over here, Beri b'chiddush. The Rambam's saying, we already have leeway in this category of avayanim, in category of mumar. Depends, do we fault them? Are they rejecting it out of their own volition? They come up with their own rationales and say, nah, doesn't make sense, I'm rejecting it. Or do we view them as coerced? Not only coerced in the for physical sense, that's a real tinuk shenishba, or the Rambam is saying coerced even in the sense that sociologically it would make no sense, it would be impossible to expect these kids to reject everything that their society is preaching to them. So the Rambam already gives us an opening that perhaps we could expand this category of tinuk shenishba. And this is not so simple, not everyone agrees to this. You take a look in the Beis Yosef, Marmoko number 8, Uleinyan HaKara'im, and with regards to the Karaites, nearly Dilaha Rambam, according to the Rambam we just read, B'Perish Masnisin, and he articulates it also in Perish Mishnayis, Kamaisa Dechulin. He holds that anyone who was raised in a certain society of apikarsis, that's considered a tinek shenishba bein agoyim. Ein lahen din mishumadim, they don't get the status of a mummer. V'asal avosim beribis, and they have the status of a Jew. You have to treat them like a Jew, l'gabi everything. V'af l'gavdu l'fi mashakasa bal nemuka Yosef. But if you take a look in the nemuka Yosef, some of the other Rishonim, v'hu delo yavina tinek shenishba, the Nemuka Yosef says, no, just because you were raised in a certain society doesn't mean you're a Tinuk Shenishba. If you never saw a Jew in your life, you were raised in a place where there are no Jews at all, so then you're a Tinuk Shenishba. How was I supposed to come to Judaism? What, I'm Avram Avinu, all of a sudden I'm going to realize Judaism? That we don't expect from you. But if you were raised in a certain society, and you're raised in a Karaite society, let's say, and you were exposed to Jews, and you still stayed with the Karaites, you didn't leave to the Jew, to the regular Jewish society, so then, say, many Rishonim, you're not considered a Tinuk Shenishba, you are still considered a Mummer. Whereas the Rambam says, no, we don't expect you to reject everything you were raised with. So we have this machlokis between the Rishonim, but the Beis Yosef says, we pass on like the Rambam. We accept the Rambam that as long as this is how you were raised, we are not going to expect you, again, we try to convince you that you were mistaken, that you were raised with mistakes, but we don't consider you a mummer, and therefore you're not a mummer l'chol haTorah kula, and we treat you like a Jew, and you wouldn't make our wine, yayin nesech, and we're not allowed to lend you with interest like everything else in the halachas of mummer. So this is the machlekes between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. We paskin like the Rambam. Take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, Marmakom number 9, this is where this is going to get interesting. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ger Toshav Dehainu Shekibel Alav Sheva Mitzvahs. V'chein Ger, you know what, let's hold off on this for now, because we're running out of time, so we'll get back to this next time. Let's just take a quick glance at the tshuva, which we will spend more time on next time. That's the tshuva of the Binyan Tzion, where now he is raised with this question. Obviously, remember what we started off the shir with. At this point in time, this is when the reform movement was beginning to take stronghold, was beginning to take hold within German society. And it was the first time in Jewish history, where we used to have one denomination. We were all Jews. Some were more religious than others. Some kept some things, some kept other things, but we were all Jews. We came to the same shul, we did the same things, we were all one group. Now, all of a sudden, we're starting with different denominations, where they're trying to say that this is a new type of Judaism. So obviously, this concept of Tinek Shenishba is going to become very, very relevant to the Binyan Tzion. It's going to become very relevant to Rav Yaakov Ettlinger and his entire community. How do we treat irreligious Jews? Is there any room to say that Mechalei Shabbos Bifarhesia, Bizman Hazeh, are not the old Mechalei Shabbos Bifarhesia, not real Mumarim, but these are people who, for whatever reason, we could still put in the category of Tinek Shenishba. Depends. How were they raised? Were they raised from Jews? Were they exposed to Judaism? All these questions are going to be questions. So he was sent to Shaila with regarding to Mechalei Shabbos Bizmanom, which would be similar to Bizmanenu, perhaps. We'll discuss that as well. And who touched wine? Does that deem the wine to be treif or not? Where he's going to come up and try to discuss, perhaps introduce a chiddush that would argue that perhaps Mechalei Shabbos, even Bizman Hazeh, would be in the category that the Rambam calls a Tinuk Shenishba, and therefore we wouldn't have to assume that they are considered like a mummer l'chol haTorah kula. Obviously, such a stance is a tremendous chiddush. We'll have to develop it. It will be met with some opposition, and we'll try to take a look at all of that next week. But a person has to realize that such a stance has both chumras and kulas. Now again, if you're going to say that they're tinuk shenishba, so they have certain kulas that you could treat them in certain ways like regular Jews, but they also have certain chumras that you have to treat them like regular Jews. So there's a kula that could touch your wine and it doesn't make your wine aser, but there are also certain chumras making if he's a real Jew, so then you have problems of lifnei iver and things like that, misayeh, things like that come into play. So a very, very relevant shaila, how do we deal with people who are not yet shomer Shabbos bizman neinu? And it's all based, it's all going to be everything, all the modern day poskim are going to start with the tshuva of the Binyan Tzion. So next week, Bli Nedar, we'll take a closer look at the Binyan Tzion. Based upon all the makaris that we've seen this week and the Shita of the Rambam, we'll be able to develop the way the place can develop the Shaila. Yeah.
Thanks.
Everybody was very
healthy. 100%. There are even those that... Is it off?